We actually have time for questions and comments.
We see everyone's drawings.
I'm not drawing at 8:30 in the morning.
Next panel's at 9:30.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on the metaphor of the banyan tree. Because I didn't catch if you mentioned this at the beginning of the paper, but the characteristic of the banyan tree that is most unique to the banyan tree is that not only do its branches spread very wide, but each branch can set down its own set of roots, as you can see in this picture. So in the post-Jerry world, I think this becomes a really important metaphor for how all these branches, they're no longer tied necessarily. I mean, they are tied to the same original roots, but they also lay down their own roots. And each branch can sort of survive on its own.
Yeah, thank you for further elucidating that. I think that's really important. And I could have gotten more into like the different bands that they're out there now and how they connect to the different branches, but you know, we can all do that for ourselves. Steve.
Linda and Bob, loved both of your papers. They were wonderful. Both of them talked about the personal relation with the song and personal transcendence. Does the communal aspect, the fact that you're doing this simultaneously with thousands or tens of thousands of other people simultaneously experiencing it, does that play into the system at all?
You're talking to...
In my paper, the reference to that, I think, is in a section in which I'm discussing that, my point is not that listening to playing in the band is an episodic adventure. My point is that the structure of the song and the structure of episodic adventures are symmetrical. And so when I listen to playing in a band, I'm having a good time thinking about my life. And obviously, when listening to it in a show, I'm having a better time thinking about my life. And part of what makes it so special there is that there's a quote, I can't remember of him who said it, the band takes all the risks and creates a safe space for us. But I actually thought it's just the opposite. The band gives us an opportunity to take the risks of an episodic adventure. And part of the reason we can do it is because so many people are doing it, sort of all in it together. So yes.
I have a counter joke for Linda, for your what did Grateful Deadhead say? Eric, would you please supply the light bulb joke?
How many deadheads does it take to screw in a light bulb? Someone say how many.
How many?
Fucking Jerry, man.
I have an answer to Steve's question.
Oh.
There's two things about that collective experience. Is one, when you have 20,000 people, it makes it a lot easier to have that experience. Because, you know, it's focus and concentration and consciousness. So if everybody's focused in on it, it makes it easier to get there and much more powerful. The other thing is, you know, where we're talking about the planes of consciousness, matter, life, mind, supermind, evolution, we have rocks, plants, humans, the best is yet to come. Sri Aurobindo says there's something else coming just on the horizon, and it's going to be a new kind of species, which is going to have powers of awareness above the human. Okay, and it's going to be a species, get it? It's going to be a collectivity. It's going to be a whole, not individual enlightenment. It's going to be the all. Yeah, so my secret theory is that all of us are kind of proto-demo, dry run versions of this new kind of awareness that's waking up in humanity.
Does that just make him a Jungian, you know?
Obviously, just like Mary says, everything connects, and because behind there's a truth, and you can look at it through this filter or that one, and, you know, take out what you need. And I'm not a Jungian, so I'm not sure where the parallels
are. Does he cite them at all? Because that's...
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does. When was Jung now? When was that? Was he in the 20s through the 50s?
Early 20th century.
Yeah, no, I'm a little ignorant.
Jung was trying to deal
with
universal archetypes, so he would have drawn from the same archetypes that Trio of Window was drawing from.
Catalog.
Yeah.
Jung would catalog things rather than the question in the front, allowing for the individual, the non-interpretive styles, which come later on. They were actually predated Jung, but I would go all the way back to Plato for non-interpretive. I'll hear that later. I just want to say, I've never been so high at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
Good.
Okay, Rebecca.
Yeah, I just have a point of information for Bob. I wasn't sure if you knew this, but there have been quite a few people who have used Victor Turner in analyzing various aspects of the dead phenomenon. Rob Sardiello was one of my students,
right.
So he comes to mind immediately. Not doing what you did, but I thought you might want to look at those things. I think it's interesting that people keep coming back to the same, you know, non-deadhead scholars when they approach this.
In the written version of the paper, I've got some references to those people.
So you are
new. But thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just
I'm sure there's a lot more I don't know.
Say it again, the name?
Vincent Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R.
Victor,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
something else about the banyan tree as a metaphor. In Hindu mythology, the banyan tree is not only axial, but it's also a tree of Shiva, because the original banyan tree, you know, I mean, it'll spread by putting down aerial roots.
Mm-hmm.
The original tree has no support and no taproot. The seed lands in the crown or the crux of another tree. And then it grows in the detritus and the, you know, in the crux, sends down roots, strangles and consumes the original tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then the roots, the aerial roots, come down and the tree spreads out from that point, so it's got no taproot.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, it's actually a very shallow rooting tree.
Mm-hmm.
And young banyans during cyclone season go over like that. Okay, it's the ones that have branched out and interlocked,
like this,
and use that structure to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But also, again, because of its cannibalistic inception,
mm-hmm.
you know, it has that element of death to it,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, in Hinduism is a much more expansive idea than
mm-hmm.
in the West, with the, you know, creator, preserver, destroyer
mm-hmm.
trinity. But it's, you know, I mean, it's a polyvalent symbol, and I think
mm-hmm.
I'd never sold Hunter short on knowing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In
so his choice of that tree.
In Central America, the nearest physical resembling tree is called a killer tree, Matapalos.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
Well, when I
just
googled the image of the banyan tree for Mary, I also found that there's a banyan tree in India, apparently, that has moved across the street over time. They call it. It's literally
how much time
across
did it
the
take?
Road. Hundreds of years, I guess, it's been there. I mean, if you Google banyan trees, it's probably going to come up right on top, because that's where I saw it. But it was interesting to think that it moves over time with growth and change and all that, because I think we're moving forward in our consciousness as the tree itself. You know, always
yeah, there are some in Florida that go on for blocks and blocks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
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 Ringling
the
state.
Okay.
For my I just wanted to comment that you know, when I did my abstract, I actually had a different idea for the direction of this paper, and it included a lot more about actually comparing Hinduism and the Grateful Dead. But in the course of this, I got an email from a guy in Ohio who actually is a deadhead and a professor of Hindu religion and philosophy, and he couldn't make it this time, but I think he's going to come one of these years, and hopefully next year, and give you the real deal. So I kind of backed off that one.
You know, you could do just an awesome presentation, someone ought to someday, on the Vedas and the Grateful Dead, you know, Anthem
oh, yeah.
of the Sun cover.
Yes.
You know, I mean, total waiting to happen presentation.
Right.
Just gave yourself a job.
Mm-hmm.
You may or may not be aware there's a band called Banyan.
Yes, I forgot to mention that too, and they're awesome.
Stephen Perkins, the drummer from Jane's Addiction, and, uh-huh. and sometimes as Mike Watt from the Minutemen.
Uh-huh.
And they're like a it's a revolving cast of characters.
Yeah.
And they're kind of an improvisational jazz band. And they bring with them a painter. And he paints like this glass template. And during the show, I guess kind of like a Banyan trail, the painting changes throughout the show. And by the end, there's a painting and then he wipes it all off. And
I know. That's great.
Mary, you said you thought what was lame about the 60s was the political social aspects, and what was good was the spiritual aspects.
Jerry
said that?
Yes. Yeah.
That was Jerry.
Go ahead, argue with Jerry.
I can argue with Jerry about it after I die. Never mind, it wasn't you.
I'm with you.
But Bob,
let's argue.
You said you were looking for a better word for than super metacantric.
Yeah.
How about super metacantric expialidocious?
I said that to somebody this morning. Something that really is atrocious. Even cantric doesn't work because it's really I'm talking about the structure. I mean, metaphysics has been used, but I'm really talking about the structure of the song, not the lyrics of the song.
If I can elaborate on your definition of metacantrics. Metacantrics is not necessarily referred to. There's nothing inherent in lyrics that is metacantric, right? The lyrics could be about something, and you're sitting in here listening to it, and it's not metacantric, but it's in the action. It's the interface between text and action that is the metacantric moment. So when you are in the act of singing about something you are in the act of doing, that is metacantric.
Mm. Where did you get that from?
It's a word that actually a friend of mine invented because we were trying to think of, is there a word to describe this?
So what does cantric mean?
Cantric comes from, it's
singing.
Metacantrics is a play on Alan Lomax's term cantometrics, which was his way of talking about.
You just totally blew my mind.
Alan Lomax used cantometrics was a system he developed to use the inherent qualities of music and song to talk about the culture of a people. So he would, analyze culture through the characteristics of their songs and their music, and that he called cantometrics.
So a mountain girl did a poem at Amherst about that was metacantric.
That was pretty metacantric, yeah. That was pretty much totally metacantric, yeah. So we took that around, and so canto, it comes from the act of singing, and meta is the singing about the act.
There is a word for words that describe themselves. I can never remember what that is. I mean, a word that, like polysyllabic, which is itself polysyllabic. There's a word for that. I'll have to look it up.
Anyway, we were sitting around trying to think of a word to describe this concept of singing about something you're doing at the time.
But can you think of another example? Playing in the band, I can get. Maybe
their music never stops. I mean, what I was talking about was a lot of ways in which Deadheads interpreted the lyrics, and that's part of what it was.
Backstage while I sing to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Dancing in the street.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I had it all. If you had been in Amherst and heard my paper, I had a whole list of them.
So if you're singing "Row, row, row your boat," and you're in rowing, if you're actually rowing down the stream as you're singing, that's metacantric.
Okay, can I understand that?
I use it.